St. Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's saint is the saint who is in the reredos, the closest to the altar on the gospel side, the greatest saint of the Cistercian order, and indeed they say of him that Bernard of Clairvaux bore the whole weight of the 12th century upon his shoulder. And well was he able to do so, not only because of his gifts of nature, his very, one hand, persuasive, sweet, charismatic character that he was, and at the same time, fiery, eloquent, forceful, a will of iron, but even more so because of his gifts of grace. Because he did not love the world, St. Bernard of Clairvaux left the world as a young man and persuaded 30 of his friends and relatives to leave the world with him and to go to the newly founded Cistercian order, which at that point was floundering for want of vocations, just about at the point of extinction. But he brought them all, and it was a great infusion of new life. And what he did for the Cistercian order as a young religious, as a monk, later on, was he to do for the whole of Europe during the time of his mature years as the abbot of Clairvaux. Truly, he was both a pope maker and a king maker. But he had this tremendous influence on others, but the only desire in his own heart, his only attachment, was to Jesus and to Mary, was to God and to prayer. Sometimes he bemoaned the fact that there he was in his cloister, and although he wasn't speaking, he was keeping silent, nevertheless, he was so occupied with the affairs of state and of the church. Remember that during his time, there was a Jew, a Murano, a false pope, who had intruded himself under the name of Anacleto into the papacy. And it was the job of our Saint Bernard to fight this false Jewish intruder and to lead one king after another, the king of France and then the king of England and then the emperor, the Holy German Holy Roman Emperor, to recognize the true pope. So busy was he. He lamented that he wasn't in true silence of his heart and in prayer. But I think it was the intensity of his prayer and his penance as a young monk which stood him in good stead when all the world was at his door, as it were, dependent upon him for the assistance that he can give it. How true it is, even in our own little and private lives, that the less we love the world, and the more we love our Lord and our Lady, the more we can give to the world. And those whose hearts are all wrapped up in worldly things are just lost in it. So for him it was truly a question, St. Bernard, of a true spiritual detachment, along with a very great penance. Now, because of his forceful disposition and character, he, at the beginning, was too severe with his monks, as a young monk. He himself was made the abbot of a new monastery called Clairvaux. He found a clear stream of water in a clearing in a forest in the valley at some distance from the mother house of Cito. This is in the general southeastern part of France, near Dijon, Burgundy is called. He was extremely strict with himself, so much so that he totally ruined his health, his digestion, and he could never keep down any food afterwards, and he would usually be sick even throughout the day when he tried to eat anything. And the monks under him, although they admired him, he was a wonderful leader, and he taught by example, and he inspired them, but he was a little bit too stern, he was a little bit too demanding, and a little bit too strict, as sometimes we do tend to be in our youth. Eventually, St. Bernard says that with time he learned, doubtless from Our Lady, to whom he was so devoted, to be more gentle, more patient with himself and with his fellow monks, to realize that these things do take time, the building up of a spiritual life, like the building up of an order or the reestablishment of a Christian order in the face of false intruders. And that while one must be very strong in the Catholic principles, in the application of them, you have to be patient with yourself, with your stomach, and with others. And in God's good time, all of these other graces will come. This was a lesson that was hard learned by St. Bernard, but eventually he did learn it. Last of all, we must say how devoted he was to our Blessed Mother. The wonderful series of sermons that he preached for the feast days of Mary, particularly on the Gospel of the Annunciation, bear eloquent witness to his great, great love for Our Lady. The words of St. Bernard are well known to us, whether it be the Memorare that comes from his pen, Remember, O Most Gracious Virgin Mary, or whether it be the ending of the Hail, Holy Queen, O Clement, O Loving, O Sweet Virgin Mary, or the words of his sermon that concerning Our Lady's name, in which he said, Ipsa propitia per venis, if she is propitious, if she is merciful towards thee, thou shalt arrive at the port of heaven and save thy soul, and how there is no need for any sinner ever to despair, not if he has at least some true devotion to the Mother of God. Today, Saint Ben truly and properly occupies the place of honor on our altar all year round, because so great a saint was he. And you can see from some of the little themes that I've just picked out at random almost to speak about this evening, what a timely saint he is for our day, when it seems that the enemy of the Church and the Jews and the Muranos have at last succeeded in stealing the papacy. We need St. Bernard to rise up again and to preach another crusade, as once he preached a crusade to deliver the Holy Land from the power of the Muslim foe. When there's so much confusion concerning the Church, we need a saint who would come to us individually and to say, this is the right man, you follow him. These other ones, they're false. Now stay away from him. Lothair, who was the king of the, or the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, was not willing to accept the true pope, except that the pope would give him in turn the power to name and to invest bishops. And this was unacceptable to the Holy Father, because he was a true pope. He wouldn't give away the Church's authority. And there was a standoff. Now he and his fellow nobles, the emperor, had been for their misconduct excommunicated. When St. Bernard came to see them, he was offering Mass, and they had to stand outside the door of the church. They were not allowed to come in. And St. Bernard was offering the Mass with great fervor at the altar. When the time came for the Holy Communion, the Ecce Agnus Dei, he held the sacred host over the passage, and he fixed the emperor with his eye, and he said to him, Sire, until now I have spoken to you as a man and as a priest to beg you to accept the true pope. But now I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ, before whom you will one day be judged. And he spoke with such fire, but at the same time such heavenly sweetness, that the emperor was moved to tears, and he begged the saint to procure for him the pardon of the pope, whom he promised that he would indeed recognize, and everything was restored. One might say, one man, by the force of his personality, say rather by the force of his sanctity, was able to bear the weight of a whole century upon his shoulders. Truly a great man, a great saint. Let us invoke him for all of our needs, which are almost the same as the needs of the Church back then in the 12th century. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.